The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Call, text, email, WhatsApp, and message Man in Line. We're open line through to one today. What do you think about Michelle Haywood laying the motion down that members add to the Isle of Man's voice about the ongoing conflict in the Middle East and condemn the actions of Hamas and Israel? Any thoughts on that matter? Well, eight Timwell members have already supported Dr. Haywood's motion. They are Rob Callister, Claire Christian, Joni Farragher, Tim Glover, Sarah Maltby, Rob Mercer, Stu Peters and John Wallenberg. That's well, that'll be interesting to see. And I just wonder whether you've got any opinion on that at the moment. That's the Russian MHK. Michelle Haywood wants the island to call upon the international community to work towards a ceasefire. Any thoughts on that? And also David Ashford, former health minister, wants a Timwell debate on DHSC's mandate to Manx care. The document outlines the operational blueprint for the health body covering remit, objectives and priorities. I just wonder, after this time, obviously Manx care has been in place for a while. If you've got any thoughts on the matter, then do get in touch. Lots of stuff going around at the moment, including, oh, I must tell you as well, this weekend, if you want to actually meet Michelle Haywood, she's got a political surgery this coming Saturday. The first Saturday, it's at the East Room in Port St Mary Town Hall, 10:30 to midday. Meet and talk to Michelle Haywood, MHK. Chat about anything. That's an MHK political surgery for Russian. Normally, MHKs are on the second or third Saturday. This is on the first Saturday. Michelle Haywood at Port St Mary Town Hall in the East Room. Love to see you there. Anything else? Why is everybody trying to make the assisted dying bill more than it is? Speaks to people's mind and how it works. What I suggest is they just have a clause in it to stop anybody altering or misinterpreting it, says Des. This is the concern. This message came in just a bit too late yesterday to be included, Des. But the concern seems to be with the proposed assisted dying bill is that although it has provisions and, if you like, it's got boundaries as to how it works, as in a residence, and the illness that somebody has and how much time they have left, roughly. A lot of people are concerned that secondary legislation will be bolted on afterwards. Now, whether or not, Des, that could happen, at the moment, nobody quite knows, because it will only, you'll only ever know if it doesn't work when it doesn't work. That doesn't sound weird. When somebody challenges it, and perhaps it then goes to court, you won't know until it happens. So again, we're trying to tell the future. So any thoughts on this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Lots of opinion on the assisted dying bill. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I picked up a thing off the internet. I have a funny feeling it was on one of your websites. It's the 80-day or the D-Day countdown, 80-day, and it's already in being. What it is, there are pipers, because this is in memory of Bill Millen. He was a personal piper of the British 1st Special Forces Brigade, who bravely led his comrades onto Sword Beach, leading them through to Pegasus Bridge, and that was the 6th of June. But we have a group of pipers that are going to do exactly that here on the island. There's England, Wales, Guernsey, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you know, all, and it's commemorating that day. And they've given the places, and they will be at 8 o'clock. It says 8 a.m. I didn't see that before. That's an ungodly hour of the day for us pensioners. But if anybody sees the pipers, and it starts on the 29th of May, and it's up in your part of the world at Douglas Head, and it names the pipers, 29th and 30th of May, they'll be at Douglas Head, and by the looks of it, Sheila Quaggan, the helper heroes down at Port Sodbrick, But this is going to be something that's going to be played all through the British Isles, commemorating this man walking ashore with the soldiers and playing the pipes all the way through, and it's 80 years. So if you do hear and see pipers about, this is what it's for. It's in commemoration of that battle, that D-Day battle.
Wow, well, that's going to be busy, because that's in TT as well, isn't it?
It is, but maybe, I don't know why this is, they've done it at 8 o'clock in the morning so as not to interfere with various other aspects. I'm unsure of what time they went ashore on D-Day, but it may be unique to that as well. But it says from the 18th of March through to the 6th of June, and led by Piper John Millen, followed by his son Jacob Millen, son and grandson of Piper Bill Millen, who led the walk or the march off the ships, etc., to go onto the beach at Dunkirk.
Wow, fantastic.
So that is here on the island, commencing the 28th of May through to the 6th of June, and they're in various parts. It can be picked up, I think, if you just put in D-Day 80. I've got a couple of bits here, they're a colour, and it tells you exactly where they are in various places on the island. There's Ramsey, Peel Castle, Onken Head, Douglas Cenotaph, the Jerby Ward, the Jerby Church, St. John's Cenotaph. So they're going to be all over the island for that particular time. So it could be of interest to, well, quite a lot of people. But it's, as I say, 8 o'clock in the morning, it is fairly early for...
And what was the name that you mentioned?
Let me go down. John Struthers is twice up Douglas Head, that's the 29th and 30th.
Yeah.
Sheila Quaggan on the 31st of May. She's at Port Sodrick, by the looks. The 1st of June is Alistair Lothian, Parliament Square, Ramsey. And then the 2nd of June is John Shakespeare, Peel Castle. 3rd of June is Jane Falconer, Onken Head. 4th of June, Jane Falconer again, but she's at the Douglas Cenotaph. 5th of June, Fiona Hill, she's at the Jerby Church War Graves. And the 6th of June is Alistair Lothian again at St. John's Cenotaph.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a respect to the men and women that lost their lives during the last war.
Interesting. There's going to be quite a bit going on, because I think the Commonwealth War Graves Commission will be doing stuff as well during the D-Day commemorations on the 6th of June.
It's very possible, yes. But it's just nice that, it is said, and I can't confirm it by any means, but per head of population, the number of men and females that left the island to go to serve the country, it was far greater in, you know, ratio. There was a larger number left the island here than what there was in the UK, per population, that is.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, just for the interest of your listeners, and if they do hear this or they want to do anything more about it, it's through from the 28th of May to the 6th of June on the island.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Thanks again. Take care.
All right. So 12:15 on Manx Radio. Interesting stuff. That's going to be some week as well. And also, that, I mentioned the Commonwealth War Graves Commission are going to be commemorating the 80th anniversary of D-Day landings. They're inviting people, Manx businesses, schools and other community organisations to take part in a special series of talks. It's called The Legacy of Liberation and focuses it on honouring the legacies of those who didn't return from World War II and how we commemorate them and their legacy. These talks are dedicated to learning more about the heritage of the Isle of Man and sacrifices of those who served during World War II. Manx organisations can learn about how 363 servicemen and servicewomen are commemorated here on the Isle of Man. 363. They're commemorated by the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, including learning about the stories of individuals. Thomas Quayle died during the Normandy invasions, and how is commemorated at Douglas Borough Cemetery. So obviously subject to weather as well. But more will be coming on about that in the future. No doubt we'll be talking to the people involved in that. But as Howard mentioned, it's the anniversary of the D-Day landings. My word. And talking of war, this is the story then. And what do you think about Dr. Michelle Haywood? Michelle Haywood, the Russian MHK, wants the island to call on the international community to work towards a ceasefire. Michelle Haywood says she expects there'll be resistance and people questioning why the Isle of Man should actually get involved in this.
There's already been a comment made about the attacks on the 7th of October in Timwald. However, since then, and since Israel launched ground attacks and repeated air attacks against Hamas, but against Gaza, we've seen an escalation in that, and we've seen a prolonged point now where we know that there is suffering happening on a wide level. It's civilians that have been dragged into a conflict that is nothing to do with them. And we've seen various bodies, including the UN, warning about starvation situations in Gaza because aid just isn't getting through because of the controls on the border. And you can see this humanitarian situation escalating.
People say, well, why does the Isle of Man need to be involved? Are you expecting that kind of backlash?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you have to draw on, there's a philosopher called John Stuart Mill who said that you couldn't pacify your conscience by the delusion that you were taking no part in something. And I think that's where we are now. We saw the demonstration outside of Timwald last month as well. And I said to the protesters at the time, I hear you. And, you know, we have been sat, several of us have discussed this a number of times over the past couple of months, really, about what can we do. And all we have to do, all we have the power for, is to speak out. And that's what we're doing.
You've mentioned here you'd like to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian and Israeli communities of the Isle of Man affected by the conflict. Have you heard from many?
Yes, I've had quite a bit of correspondence and more over the last few hours when it's become known that this motion has been laid as well. I was speaking to constituents yesterday and they're fully supportive of taking a stand because I think they agree with me that you can't stand by and watch and not comment. It's just not acceptable.
And why do you think the other members of Timwald should agree to this?
Because I think it's actually the kind and compassionate thing to do is to recognise the suffering that's going on and to acknowledge it and not try and turn a blind eye and pretend that we can't do anything. And I think for those people, and there are some people who have left Gaza who live on the Isle of Man, and for those, I think just saying to them, we are with you and we recognise your pain and we recognise your suffering. And for the people of Israel as well, we recognise your pain and suffering. And I think acknowledging something doesn't... I know it's not going to change anything on the ground. I don't expect either government to listen to the Isle of Man, but I do want to reach out to those communities and say, we do see your pain and we do acknowledge what you're going through.
What's your reaction to this? Do you think it's worth doing? Do you think we should do it? Do you think it will make any difference? And what impact do you expect it to have? Again, this is something that has been brought up many times. On Man in Line, we talk about things all about the Isle of Man, and often our international reputation comes into this. So do you think this is something that will enhance our international reputation? Fran 762, so what a pity our MHKs didn't show the same concern for those who voted them into their highly paid jobs. There's not a jot we can do about the situation in Gaza. We'd best steer clear of any troubles which are down to religion. Fran's view. Dave 692, our MHKs could be concentrating on sorting out the mess that we have here, not trying to suggest that they are big players on the world stage. The Israelis don't care what the USA and EU are saying. They're not going to give a tinker's cuss about what Manx MHKs have to say on 692. And Des back, can you tell me why we're not calling for an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine? Are they not worthy of saving? It's like putting the kitchen emblem on their vehicles attracted more likely to attack, as if they felt it may have... It was... Sorry, that's all corrupted. I'm sorry, David, your messages, your letters have gone here, there and everywhere. I hope Michelle Haywood doesn't intel Afghanistan to send a strongly worded letter to Israel, as it takes a week to get a letter from Douglas to Peel. Well, so any thoughts on that? Genuine thoughts about, is it something we should do? And if we're going to get involved in the Gaza conflict by sending that correspondent said, what about Ukraine? What about things that are happening elsewhere? More prosaically, remember, it's our 60th anniversary year. And every Wednesday, Peter Kelly from the Victorian Society and star of Kelly's Eye. We go delve back in the diary. Last week, we started looking at the Camera Obscura from 2005. So this week, we'll conclude it. More Camera Obscura today with Peter Kelly and Kelly's Eye when Man in Line finishes. Those MHKs and MLCs supporting Dr. Hayward's motion, like I mentioned, Rob Callister, Claire Christian, Joni Farragher, Tim Glover, Sarah Maltby, Rob Mercer, Stu Peters and John Wannenberg. Coincidentally, both Douglas South MHKs are on Man in Line next Monday, the 8th. Claire Christian and Sarah Maltby, the Douglas South MHKs. Claire Christian is standing as independent, of course. Sarah Maltby, one of the two Manx Labour MHKs in Keys at the moment. So perhaps we'll have a chat with them about what that. And of course, there's lots more to talk about Douglas South as well, as the constituency Man in Lines continue. Thanks also to the story of the steam packet goes on. And thanks to all our correspondents who send me... I have to tell you, I do get lots and lots of anonymous correspondence about things on the Isle of Man, and I'm getting lots of correspondence about the steam packet at the moment, about what people say is happening. Now, it may or may not be happening, but thank you for that. I'll be working my way through that. And also, what's happening at the meat plant? The meat plant at the moment seems to be in something of a, well, how can I put it? Everything is not quite happening as it should, with many Manx retailers saying there isn't any Manx meat available. And who knows what is happening? At the moment, I can tell you that we have been asking the meat plant what the situation is with Manx meat and, you know, what's going to happen. It's virtue signalling, says Paul. Virtue signalling, nothing more, nothing less. Last week, Michelle Hayward was planting daffodils in potholes in Port St Mary. More action on local issues and less farming Facebook for publicity. Thank you, Paul. Obviously something Michelle Hayward feels very strongly about. And Jill's also said, again, what about the war in Ukraine? What about the Sudan? What about Yemen? Seem to have forgotten this in the scramble for a virtue signal. If you've just joined, this is the thing that's going to be happening. This month's Tynwald, Michelle Hayward putting a motion before Tynwald asking that members add the Isle of Man's voice to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East and condemn the actions of Israel and Hamas. She wants the island to call on the international community to work towards a ceasefire. You heard her say it's not going to make that much difference, but she feels it's something that we should be doing. Well, Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Yes, hello, Andy. Just regarding this business of letting the world know what the Isle of Man thinks, I think, I'm not sure, but... we are a Crown dependency, right?
Yes, we are.
And as far as I'm aware, as a Crown dependency, we look to the United Kingdom for our defence and also for our foreign relations.
That's right. And remember, we pay a share of our GDP for defence, and the UK represents us in international affairs.
That's right. So I'm not sure why... you know, as a as our Parliament should be doing anything in regard to foreign relations. That's up to the United Kingdom, isn't it?
So why do you think Michelle Hayward feels this is relevant?
I'm sure the rest of the world is not interested in what this postage stamp of an island is talking about, I'm afraid. Yes, I mean, you can make gestures of support for individuals, and it's all a very dangerous thing that's going on there, we quite agree. As I say, as far as the Constitution goes here regarding the Isle of Man, that's up for the UK government's Foreign Office Department to make statements on our behalf.
Okay, so I mean, you're content that we should just let it lie at the moment and let the UK represent us?
Well, in that case, we should make representations to the United Kingdom and let them do what they're supposed to do.
Okay, all right. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, bye.
Good to hear from you. It's 27 minutes past 12. Many messages in about this. It's virtue signalling. Again, many people are saying this is millions of soldiers lost their lives in those terrible wars to stop the invaders from taking over the British Isles. So is this in? Thank you, Frank, for that. You want to call, text, email and WhatsApp on this. Lots of more comment coming in about this. Another thing. Hamas carried out what can only be described as a massacre. Palestine's had decades of terrorism from Hamas and now it's come to a point where surely Hamas must be stopped completely. Thanks also to Lenny, who just said, I watch the BBC every night with their highly paid correspondents who talk about one side of the conflict all the time. I've yet to hear them or see them interview anybody from Hamas. Maybe the BBC should consider that. Don't know. Michelle Haywood is jumping on the bandwagon to keep her name in the headlines. She should just concentrate on sorting out the problems we have on the Isle of Man. Here's a message in from Alan, who just said, again, this is just a side issue. It's just like the bishop's vote issue. Really, we've got bigger problems to cope with on the Isle of Man. And as Eddie just said, we pay the UK to look after our international relations. They've got a bigger seat than we have at the international table. The Isle of Man isn't at the United Nations. The United Kingdom is, and they are our representative. We do everything else, but internationally, the UK represents the Isle of Man. So is this the whole thing? Thanks also from Ben, who just said, can't you tell us all this confidential stuff you're getting about the steam packet? No, I can't. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi, yes. Talking about Gaza and assertions that this motion is, you know, somehow virtue signalling, etc., and we have nothing to do with it. Well, the thing is that, of course, Jersey, our colleague Channel Island, voted for just such a motion on 28th of February and passed it unanimously. And I believe that the motion before Tynwald is pretty much a replica of that motion. I don't know about Guernsey. I don't know if they've voted on a similar thing. So I'm not quite sure what Jersey thinks about it being virtue signalling. And as for our issue of international relations, that's the issue, I believe, of some discussion with the Crown Dependencies and UK government as to how much latitude that they should have. And there is a move, I think, to give us more latitude on that, given the fact that we do various international and global things, such as have a shipping registry, such as have an aircraft registry, and, of course, being an offshore financial centre, we do have influence in the world rather greater than just a little rock with 80,000 people on it.
Yeah, that's a very relevant point in the fact that an enormous amount of our revenue comes from international sources, international companies. The e-gaming business is an international business, the international finance business, as you said, you mentioned, the shipping register, the luxury yacht register. So we do rely on and it's almost a kind of semi-parallel with, if you like, signing up to green initiatives that have an international basis, in that if we're going to rely on money coming from all around the world, do we have a responsibility to stand up and say something if there are international issues, Bonzo?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if we think it right and proper to profit from these things, then we should accept any moral responsibility that actually goes along with that.
So what influence do you think we can actually, what do you think we can actually do?
Well, I think people who say that passing such a motion is, irrelevant virtue signalling and various other derogatory remarks about it.
Well, virtue signalling isn't illegal. Everybody virtue signals to some extent.
Well, virtue signalling was a term coined by somebody called Sebastian Payne, who writes for the right-wing magazine The Spectator, I think it was in about 2015, and it's gained currency as a derogatory term to be used at anyone who sort of purports to any form of progressive ideas. But when we think again about things like that, I think, you know, turn telescope round. I think when you have, when it's presented to people that even the Isle of Man, even Jersey, even Guernsey, even these, you know, small faraway places of which they know little, think that what you're doing is wrong. And that you've got, and that you've got to bring a halt to this. I think a couple of things also have to be remembered: that the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is only in office still because of the fact that there is a war going on. Because essentially, war powers have been passed in Israel, and that keeps him as Prime Minister. He's been facing a variety of charges for which he's been arraigned, I think, by the Israeli court for. But he can't be prosecuted because he's Prime Minister, because there's a war on. He can't be removed as Prime Minister because there's a war on. So the longer that hostilities occur, the safer Netanyahu feels he is. So he's not going to be in any hurry to end things. And I also think we should remember that we, not only in terms of finance, etc., but Rongsway Aircraft, I think you will find, make some of the parts for the F-35s that Israel are now using to bomb Gazans with.
So we are connected.
Oh, yes, very much so.
OK, all right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Thanks again. Bye.
27 minutes before one, on a completely separate subject. A few people have said over the past few months, where's the Radio Doctor? The Radio Doctor is now as a podcast only, and the Radio Doctor has been taking a very well-earned sabbatical, but is now back. And if you want to go to manxradio.com, click on podcast. The Radio Doctor is back with a podcast, and I would highly recommend it. This week it's about scabies. And coughs and colds. I'll say no more, but if you're a fan of the Radio Doctor, and many people are, it's at the podcast section of manxradio.com. Do we know how keys are getting on with opting in the island out of the WHO Pandemic Treaty Bill amendments? Says Crystal on 775. And after the evil that Hamas has done to Israel, I totally agree with this war, and I'm sorry that in all wars people get killed. Jeff's opinion on 008. Again, what about the Ukraine? What about Sudan? What about Yemen? Says Jill. Thanks also to the person who's sending me lots of stuff this time about the meat plant. I couldn't possibly make it public what you're telling me about the meat plant, and we'd both be in trouble if I did. So here's David.
Hi, Randy. I just want to... Hey, you still there?
Live and kicking here, David.
You took a breath then. I thought you had a heart attack. But anyway, I want to talk about the UK crown dependencies, which we are, and what have we done to up our game. In the UK, we have a I can't remember the parliamentary name now, this person that looks after the Isle of Man and the Crown Dependencies. There is an MP in England that does that and communicates with the Crown Dependencies. So what are we doing? Like you said before, we do pay for our defence, and we pay for consulate services, yeah, when we get stuck in foreign countries. But why aren't we doing something else? I know the politicians want to do something. It'll be like blowing in the wind. The piece of paper will just lie on somebody's desk and it'll never get transferred to the right people. But my concern is we're still getting, I still get actually, to tell you the truth, offers to have solar panels, green initiatives. But as soon as you tell them you live in the Isle of Man, yeah, and you give them your postcode, it's a no. Insurance is the same. It's getting harder and harder to get better deals. And what is the politicians on the island doing, or the government itself doing to support?
And is this cabinet office's responsibility, do you think?
I think personally it is, but it's all the politicians. We've got half the politicians who are not doing anything anymore. They're not in a department. How do they learn? How do they get involved in changing things for the benefit of this community which we're living in now? I can't believe them. There's a little group getting formed, isn't it? The alternative grouping?
That's it, yes. The internal opposition, whatever they're calling themselves.
Yeah, I just wonder whether they're registered. Because I remember the Liberal Banner Party had to be registered as an organisation, not as a trade union like they do now. But they had to register. And do you remember the joke that was... and I'm being disparaging, really, is about how many Liberal Vannons were in a telephone box when they had the AGM.
Yes.
I mean, we've got to get something done, and these politicians have got to get together and support, either whether they like it or not, the ministers, the department, and move things on. And one of the biggest is going to be the DOI. Tim is there as the minister. He can't do everything. He should have a team around him all the time that's saying, we can do this, we can't do that, and sometimes tell us the truth,
okay,
which I don't think they are, on certain issues. But it really annoys me personally that because we're a Crown dependency, we're treated differently. Why aren't we getting into the other Crown dependency and saying, let's do something jointly together and make that difference? Do you remember when the racing driver bought a plane and he used the Isle of Man? What a cry that was.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah. And what, you know, the prestige we had for that when the government department involved at the time went out of its way to attend somewhere on a Saturday morning and get the fee for the plane, which we're entitled to get. It's like the boats, isn't it? We were on a shipping register, an international shipping register. I wonder whether are the steam packet boats still registered somewhere in Bermuda? I don't know, but we can't find out on a data subject access request, can we? Because we're not allowed to ask questions.
I got a note in from, it was a lady called Amy. Oh, that's right. I'm just trying to find it. It said Amy's. Next time David's on, can you ask him, are those cars still on Howe Road?
Yes, and I'm disappointed with the DOI and the police, and I don't mind mentioning that, really, that when vehicles, and I'll tell you, I won't tell you the number plate on it, but there's a kit car that's parked on Howe Road in the middle there, where all these columns are going to be built now for the internet. It's on a Q plate. It's a false number plate. It's not even a Manx number plate. I've delivered it to the police and said to them, look, this is against the law. I had confirmation from the DOI, certain departments saying, why don't they just write to the person and say, if you want to comply with the law, you've got to change your number plate. And further up the road, there are at least 15. I remember in my time when you had a vehicle with a trailer on the back in a domestic area or residential area, it wasn't permitted. Now, I just wonder why, when you're asking these questions and we're looking for answers, we don't get them. I wouldn't mind if they say, Mr. Quirk, you're wrong. I'd be happy with that. And then I could tell these other people that we can't do anything with them. But I think we can. In a residential area, which is covered by a zone, which is 20 miles an hour zone, they can be done. But it's having the will in the department to push things along.
Seems strange. Yeah, it just seems strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the one of the major things is now, I wish we'd get some of these politicians on. Oh, listen, I want to thank Rob Collister too for doing sterling work trying to put Onchan back together with the people who are living over in Howe Road, in Garf 2, if I could call it. They're all part of Onchan. In the local authority elections, they're all part of Onchan. So if anybody wants to ask any questions, you can ring the commissioners in Onchan and just ask them, why aren't we doing something about this? If it was in their power, the commissioners will try and do it. But sometimes the power lies with the government and they've got to be working hand in hand.
OK. All right. Thanks, David.
Right.
Good to hear from you. Amy, there you are. You had your answer. And a note in from Lisa, who just says, this is virtue signalling. Exactly the right word for what they're doing. The UK's already passed a motion. They represent us for external affairs. Michelle Hayward's just doing this to attract attention to herself as a do-gooder. Well, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? Maybe she should sort out some of the local issues that seems sadly lacking. Well, she did say that road that she planted a daffodil in Port St Mary is the worst road on the Isle of Man. So is that what our politicians are there for? Or, I mean, are they allowed to? Can they express things on an international basis? What on earth is going wrong with Manx healthcare? It's near impossible to see a GP these days. The first appointment is 17 days away, says Jeff on 154. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right?
Yeah, good.
Good. I've missed the last few days and things. I've been a bit busy, but somebody said that the Chief Minister has made a statement about he's going to start listening to people.
Well, he said that the government needs to reconnect. On the subject of the budget, he just said that the budget apparently wasn't communicated very well and the fact that taxes have gone up.
Well, that's good. That's good. He's beginning to go the right way and listen to the people. Yep. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Well,
maybe a comment about Michelle Hayward.
Michelle Hayward? What do you think?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. She's not one of our brightest MHKs, so it doesn't surprise me at all coming out with something like that. Get on with your jobs, that's all I can say. But I'm so pleased that the Chief Minister is going to start and listen to people, because very shortly, I think it will be a very similar thing to what happened at the pool. You'll be getting some idea, or he will be getting some idea, that if he wants to stay in government, he's going to have to listen to the people, because there's so many people now who are going to vote against wind farm. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Eddie.
See you.
Good to hear from you. And 380 texted just says, it seems our MHKs are always trying to play the media. Is this a diversionary strategy? The UK should be sending our message alongside theirs. People seem to forget who invaded who last October. Well, if Bonzo mentioned that Jersey have passed a motion and sent a message. So is it something we should be doing? We are an international island. I mean, we do tout ourselves as an international island. We're an international finance centre. Money flows and influence comes in from all over the world. We have a big finance industry, not as big as it used to be, but it is a big finance industry which represents people all over the world. We have a big trust industry which represents people all over the world. We have a very international e-gaming sector, which employs people from all over the world. So are we more international than we used to be? MHKs need to concentrate on the state of Douglas, which could be twinned with the Gaza Strip, says Derek. Maybe they should ask the people on the cruise ship what they think. I'm glad you named the MHKs who backed Michelle Hayward motion. Follow Ellie's thoughts, says Paul. They make more sense. Well, they supported the motion. Then again, I would imagine they feel strongly about it. You can hear more, of course, when Tim Wood's broadcast live on Manx Radio. Thanks also to Tess, who just said, you were talking about the steam packet last week and about bonuses and what have you. Well, this was just something that was put to us about the fact that the steam packet not signing the lease, and we haven't heard anything about that. The steam packet haven't yet signed the lease on the Liverpool landing stage. So at the moment, nobody's going anywhere. So it might be interesting to see if there is what I think is euphemistically called an overhead containment bonus that may be payable to directors and senior management at the steam packet. An overhead containment bonus basically means keep costs down and bonuses will be paid to senior executives. Now, we don't know, because we can't FOI the steam packet. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company is outside that framework, as is the Manx Development Corporation. You can't send a Freedom of Information request to see what's happening, bearing in mind the steam packet is paid for by us. The shareholder is the Manx Treasury. And Tessa just said, you said that people made money out of the steam packet years ago. Well, they did. The steam packet, if you remember, way back in the 1980s, Manx Line, Jeff Duke's Manx Line, brought the steam packet close to collapse, and they merged with SeaLink. SeaLink had taken over Manx Line, and the steam packet company and SeaLink merged. SeaLink was the old UK British Rail sea ferries business. The steam packet became, in 1996, became a wholly owned subsidiary of Sea Containers, headed by Jim Sherwood, very charismatic guy. Jim Sherwood pioneered the fast craft operation, and we got, you know, the fast craft. We got the Sea Cats and everything. In 2003, steam packet was sold for £142 million to Montagu Private Equity. Montagu Private Equity, I think it was Samuel Montagu, part of the old Midland Bank, what became HSBC. Are you following this? So in 2003, the steam packet was sold to Montagu Private Equity by Jim Sherwood. Sea Containers had basically gone down the tubes, and Montagu Private Equity bought it. It was a management buyout by the steam packet, basically. 2 years later, Macquarie Bank, the Australian bank, bought the steam packet for $225 million. Got that? 2 years. 2003, steam packet sold for $142 million to Montagu Private Equity, a management buyout, and then sold 2 years later for £225 million, £83 million profit. Get it?
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Ah, that's a large magnolia you've got there, Tom.
I know, Bert. It's grown and grown, just like my savings have with the Guernsey Bank Skipton International.
Really?
They offer attractive interest rates and are genuinely committed to providing great customer service.
Right.
You always get a real human being to talk to, too, not some automated voice.
If you want your savings to grow faster, looked after by real people who care, switch to Skipton today. Call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. Details at www.dcs.gg.
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000.
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture, with a wide range of manager's specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one roof at the B&B Furniture three-storey showroom in Snugborough. B&B
Furniture. Hello, this is H. On this evening's Spotlight, we hear more about the Easter Festival of Plays currently taking place at the Gaiety Theatre. Talk to artist Andrew McKellar about his exhibition, Safe Harbours and Other Things, and hear about the latest round of Art Council funding. If you have an idea, they're there to help make it happen. At Spotlight, tonight, just after 6 p.m, and available as a podcast straight after broadcast via the Manx Radio website. Spotlight, art in the making.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And it's, what do we turn now? 10 minutes before one. The meat plant is obviously in a bit of a pickle at the moment. I've had lots of messages in saying, is it true that a lot of meat has been skipped at the meat plant? I don't know, but I'm just getting, if anybody could confirm this, if it's wrong, then it's wrong. But lots of people have, I say lots, half a dozen or so people have told me that some quite a lot of meat has been skipped at the meat plant. Now, when there are retailers who are saying that there's got no Manx meat and they can't sell it, and they would sell it if they could, something somewhere is going wrong. Obviously, there have been redundancies at the meat plant recently, and it is part of our infrastructure on the Isle of Man. It's part of our food infrastructure. Now, bearing in mind that Ramsay Bakery went, that was part of the, you know, that was the head of the chain. No reason why they couldn't sell. It was a family business. They wanted to get out of it. Been doing it for 50 years. And obviously, I think a lot of their plant was quite old. It would have taken a lot of money to get it up to spec. And in the middle of all that, the gas price shot up. So they were looking down the financial barrel of the gun, as it were. So Ramsay Bakery went. They used all the stuff from Laxey Glen Mills. So now there's been no milling wheat planted on the Isle of Man. And we're storing wheat at the mills. So we're not making our own bread. There are some very fine artisan bread makers on the Isle of Man, but nothing like the quantity that Ramsay Bakery used to do, 6 days a week. So we lost that. Now, the meat plant, you know, bearing in mind, it is supported from central funds, but it does support agriculture. It supports the, you know, the meat growers on the Isle of Man. So what's going to, we are asking them just to see what's what, and as soon as we know, certainly you will. Did you notice Dr. Hayward mentioned Israel attacking Hamas and then quickly replaced the word Hamas with Gaza? Is this where her allegiance lies, says Gary. I don't think after evil what the evil Hamas has done, I totally agree with the war. And remember, all types of people get killed in wars. The Isle of Man should keep our big nose out and get on with our own problems, says Jeff. Thanks also. Ollie just said, look, we've got lots of problems on the Isle of Man, and they don't seem to be getting to grip. We haven't even outlawed the vaping on the Isle of Man, the sale of vapes and what have you. We've got a sister dying. We've got the Kroger gas situation. We've got an onshore wind farm that may arrive. We've got an offshore wind farm that is in the planning. We haven't got enough teachers. We haven't got enough dentists. We haven't got enough doctors. And we haven't got enough nurses. Sean's on now. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Randy. I haven't been on for a while about farming in general, but you were just mentioning about the meat plant and Ramsay Bakery.
Yeah.
The knock-on effect from the wheat not being grown is also affecting the straw supply in the Isle of Man, which I've mentioned to you before.
Yeah.
We've imported a lot of straw in the Isle of Man this year, making the profits of the steam packet even greater, which, you know, okay, we own the steam packet, but they keep putting the prices up to make that one viable now. But the meat plant, going back to the meat plant, I know I haven't got much time.
You've got 20 seconds.
Okay, well, yes, there was a load of meat skipped yesterday, and I know that for a fact, because, as you know, I work in the industry. I don't know why it was put in a skip, but you've got the wildlife park, which needs feeding animals. You've got the MSPCA. People couldn't get dog food. So somebody needs to answer to this. Alf Cannon knows about it.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a whole raft of things. I could talk for an hour.
All right. Well,
about the whole
we'll find out more tomorrow then. But we appreciate, Sean. Thanks for that. We thought we'd get that call in right at the end. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Sean.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Peter, what's Kelly's eye looking at today?
We're in the camera obscura. Now the next one, as we move around, got all these stabbards at the back of the breakwater. We can see Summerland out over there, and that office block where the Douglas Bay hotel was.
Yeah, and somewhere there's a figure on how many stabbards were laid here, isn't there? I think down on the promenade.
Well, I suppose you could start to count them here, but see how the sea is rippling towards us.
Yes.
It's quite incredible.
It's fascinating, really, isn't it?
Probably, seagulls, yeah. Again. Now, this is where the Incline Railway came up. You can see the stonework abutment.
Yes.
Another motorhome there, and there's Steve Carter's tug. We've got the Victoria Pier, the Falcon Cliff Hotel, and or what was the hotel, the Hilton Hotel, the whole of the promenade out there. Big gas container here.
Extraordinary depth of view, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And obviously, by adjusting the mirror, we can sort of come down or come up. But unfortunately, top and bottom of the picture goes out of focus, so you've got to work on the middle. Now the next picture. Now just look at these trees in the foreground.
Oh, they're waving about beautifully, aren't
they? But the real 3D effect. And here's a seagull coming through.
Mm-hmm.
There he goes.
Yes.
And, of course, we're here in TT Week, so there's the fair. All the various
rides
along. Oh, there's one
the
going
promenade.
Round.
Yes, you can see the movement there.
Right. Now, what children do when they come in here, by the way, they usually use the back of the information sheet, and they can get the picture on it.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, now I've got the harbour control office at the end.
Right.
And they can lift it.
Oh, move it around.
Yeah,
yes,
move it around.
Yes,
so
yes.
Usually when somebody walks on a path, they pick them up and then
follow
and go
them.
With them. Right.
Well, of course, we're on radio now. We should be on television for this, but here we are with another picture in front of us. This time, this is a walkway here as well, isn't it?
Right, now it is. Now, this shows you, see, because things are done with mirrors. If you look at this, there's a couple of signs here in the corner. But if I put that down there...
Mirror image,
you can't read the sign.
No.
It's actually telling you up here at the camera obscura, you're not allowed to use jet skis in the bay. There's Sir William Hillary.
Ah, yes.
And there's, good grief, it's my family and granddaughters having a picnic on that seat. There's Manx Radio.
Manx Radio there showing.
Nobody waving to us. Anyway, believe it or not, David.
That's it, is it?
That's the 11 pictures. Well worth coming to see.
Part of Island Life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.